Care Talk with Laura Packard is a podcast covering healthcare in America from a progressive perspective. Our healthcare system is broken, and we all know insurance companies are out of control. If you don't have health insurance or don't understand the differences between insurance plans or have surprise medical bills, out-of-control prescription drug costs, or can't get the care you need, listen to Care Talk with Laura Packard weekly on Tuesdays. What's going to happen to your healthcare under the Trump administration? From prescription drug prices to health insurance costs, from healthcare for seniors and people with disabilities to reproductive care, from care for veterans to public health, including vaccinations. Healthcare experts answer your questions every week, and they go in-depth on Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, private insurance, and more. Go to healthcarevoices.org/caretalk or search for Care Talk with Laura Packard on your favorite podcast app to listen today.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, my returning guest is Lisa Parker of Mama's Porch and Politics. We love Lisa. She lives in Ohio, Appalachia. She's in Trump country. She's got such a unique perspective. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent and woman-run. I offer a show every Tuesday just for patrons called What's Up, where I get a little more personal and talk about whatever's on my mind. I also offer an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Look at the different tiers and support the show today. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Lisa Parker of Mama's Porch and Politics. Welcome back to the show, Mama.
How are you?
Well, I have a lot of questions for you, and then maybe I'll determine how I am.
do we have a little bit to talk about since we last spoke, do you think?
I don't know. Everything's been so boring.
Yeah, what a shit show.
Oh, my God. Yes, it's been a shit show. You know, I want to start this off because this is... I think we're all thinking this, and because you live where you live, right, in the heart of it, in Appalachian, Ohio, so pretty much at this point, you know, save for the cultiest of the MAGA, the entire world hates Donald Trump. Everybody hates this guy. But wait, hold on. But my question to you, because we have seen him win elections. And we don't believe those elections. Even the DNC has basically said that Kamala Harris won because of all their fucking cheating. Basically, it's like the, I don't know. I did not read the DNC autopsy. I just read what people said about it from what I understand. So I could be incorrect. And if you know, you can correct me. But it's not that they so much talked about whatever happened illegally, but legally, they definitely suppressed votes, which led to Trump winning. So we always think, you know, so many of us thought we were going to win. Not everybody, but a lot of people thought we were going to win in 2024 and we didn't. So how confident are you that we're going to be able to pull off this in the midterms? Because we know that regardless of whether Trump lives or dies before the midterms, the oligarchs are the ones in power and they don't want to lose it. They are going to have this like death grip on the nation. So I want to know what you think about the midterms.
Well, see, I have a little bit different take on things than you do.
I know you do. That's why you're here.
Because Kamala lost. I don't think there was that much tinkering, and shame on the DNC for not realistically looking in the mirror, because I got problems with a lot of the things the DNC has done and continues to do, as I do with my own, the Ohio Democratic Party. They keep wanting to do the definition of insanity. They think they're going to keep doing the same thing over and over and win, and they're not. Mm-hmm. I believe she lost solely because 10 million people sat home. Mm-hmm. We had that group up in Michigan that were all butthurt over the stance on Palestine. So they just didn't damn show up to vote. Mm-hmm. And so the Electoral College went that way. And I think it was just, oh, everything's fine now, so we don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. And that's what they don't want to discuss or talk about. It's the same with them pushing these old candidates. Mm-hmm. That's not where the country is. So they need to look at these autopsies realistically. Do I think we're going to win the midterms? Hell yes, I think we are, because as I said the first time that we spoke, at that time I said people aren't hurting enough. And that's a horrible thing to say, but they weren't hurting enough. People are really hurting now.
Yeah.
And we are on the precipice of being as in bad a shape as we were in 08, if not worse. So I think that a lot of people that can't admit they made a mistake in voting for Taco will quietly pull that little curtain and they'll vote for a Democrat.
Now, or not vote at all, right?
Or not vote at all. Stay home. Don't give a shit. You stay home. Just don't. Now, that small core under 30% that worships him no matter what. Well, they don't. Of that core 30%, we'll say 2% are the Broligarchs. And they're already abandoning ship. They've already determined we can take over Argentina since Taco propped it up. And our asses are moving south. Weather's better anyway. So, and I think that's why Jimmy Hamill is rethinking 2028 because...
Wait. Jimmy Hamill or Kimmel?
Hamill. Who's Hamill? You know, J.D. Vance.
Oh, that's I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
Jimmy Hamill. Keep up. I can't wait till he has to comply with the SAVE Act, because you know he was Bowman and then Hamill and then Vance. And then who knows what he'll be. Maybe he'll be Teal before it's over. But anyway, since Peter's done left him, you know, what's a boy going to do? He's lost his little sugar tit. So I think people realize they have to take their country back. And I keep telling my followers, which have grown exponentially, look, we expect people to go into combat, to war, and to do their job and to go in and be fearless. And that's what we have to do. No more excuses that somebody's going to make it hard to go to the polls. No more excuses. Oh, well, they might look at me or there might. You go. You go vote. That's your superpower. And no matter what, you vote, because that's what got rid of Orban. When you show up in overwhelming numbers, there's nothing Taco can do. So
that makes me feel good.
That's my mammal. And we have fighters and people are waking. Listen, it was us old gray-haired ladies that brought the 60s to you. Okay. We got Title IX. We got the Voting Rights Act in, and we're just going to have to shake it off and get to it.
You know, I want to kind of bring this over until it was, I don't know when I wrote this article, but it was a couple of years ago and I just refreshed it. But it was about Catholic women and Republican women who get abortions. And there's a lot of them. And so,
well, sure there are.
Yeah. And so last week I asked this question to Sarah Wood, but I want to ask you, because you do live in, you know, a red state, I'm wondering, how are women, I mean, I don't know how much opportunity you've had to actually talk to these women about abortion, but at least what's your take on this whole thing about what's happening? Because some of these women, all these red states are making it so difficult for pregnant women who don't want to be, no matter what the situation is, no matter if they are carrying a fetus that isn't even viable or whatever it is, they're, you know, we're not hearing as many reports as we did earlier on about women dying, but I know those reports are there. And so what do you know how red state women are feeling about these abortion bans?
Well, publicly or privately? Because
well, privately.
In Ohio, everybody was on the save the babies bandwagon until we had that vote. And guess what? We have legal abortions in Ohio. Now, our supermajority Republican man who, you know, we've got to preserve the man, see, no matter what. They're all butt hurt and they're wanting to, you know, overturn what the voters did. But I'm telling you what, those women privately got behind that curtain at the voting booth, and we overwhelmingly passed that women have a right to choose in the state of Ohio. And that's where I think all of it is. They're saying one thing publicly because, you know, they don't
want to
lose face with their little community. But privately, women know what women need to do.
Okay, so what now I'm going to take you to somebody completely different. So there's a woman that I know who's not at all like red state mentality. She was an actress and living in Hollywood, just, you know, having fun with, you know, doing her thing. And I saw her posting recently. I know that like her family is they're Trump supporters, and she pretty much just goes with whoever because they have money and she's taken care of by her Trump supporting family, ex-husbands, whatever you want to call it. So she is like, I guess, I don't know if she's considered MAGA, but I saw some of the things that she reposted and stuff like, and it's unbelievable to me because it's so red state-ish. And she never, when I met her in the 90s and knew her in the 90s, we never discussed politics. But I mean, I had just assumed she was liberal because our whole lifestyle was like a liberal lifestyle. But then come to find out, you know, she is like this sophisticated New Yorker type. She doesn't live in New York, but she has. And California type, but yet she's MAGA. Do you think that these women who are specifically the ones who are wealthy and taken care of, do you think that they're just happy to keep voting for the fascists because basically they're taken care of no matter what? Or do you think they're going to say, hey, wait a minute? I mean, I know there's always going to be a group that's going to be selfish, but I'm just talking in a general sense and using her as...
Well, you've got a couple of things to unbox here. First of all, when you bring up red states, keep in mind that a lot of that is simply because the way they've gerrymandered.
Yes, that's true.
They've taken away rights. So you have voices out there. And I look at the numbers on who's following me and from where they're from and who's in the Democratic Party and where they're from. It's the way they're gerrymandered that they have taken their voices away. So you have, I mean, Missouri was the first state to ratify women's right to choose after Roe was overturned. So it's not so much a red state, it's on who was able to silence women. Now, my big thing all along has been, and I've been doing a lot of reading and research, why are these educated women, and I really have a problem with this, educated women who've traveled and stuff, why they are MAGA, why they're still, well, it was all fine and dandy. So do you remember the mean girls in high school?
Yeah.
They're the mean girls. And as long as they were going along, they got along and they got what they wanted. Even the ones that are well-educated, that are professionals. And it was okay as long as it was sticking it to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I'm sorry about your luck, but it doesn't involve me, so I'm going to stay out of it. Now it involves them. Now they've stuck it to themselves and they don't like it. And it's hard to have sympathy. Now, I've told people, if you will, you know, part of healing, part of realizing you have to cure your addiction is to admit you have a problem. If you admit you would have a taco problem, I'm okay with it. You're welcome on the porch. But otherwise, as long as you're okay with sticking it to other people, enjoy the stick and try to find some Vaseline.
All right, then.
I am particularly salty these days.
And that's what we love, because we are a salty show and I am so profane. Yeah, I mean, it's just maddening, though, because I mean, there's still going to be a group of people that just don't see it. And it's just frustrating. But I am on board with you. I really like what you're saying about the midterms, and I get scared, but I do believe you're correct. And I now let me just take it a little bit further than that. So let's just go with, we win the midterms, right? Let's just go with the whole shebang. We get both the Senate, we get the House. Now, let's just say
governorships too.
And governorships. And then, you know, we're going to be in a very solid position. It's like, give ourselves the best possible outcome. Now, with the best possible outcome, you know, let's just say Trump's alive. Let's do Trump's alive. And then let's just do, just for funsies, J.D. Vance is president. But let's just start off with Trump is alive. And what does that mean? Well, I guess you can add both of them in, but I mean, what does it mean? What is that going to look like? We know they're not necessarily going to be able to, you know, push through their agenda, although they don't follow rules anyway. But like, what do you think that's going to look like?
If we give the Senate and the House veto-proof numbers, which I think we will in the House, the Senate it may be razor thin.
Yeah.
Depends on how butthurt they can be. I think, though, with the senators, they are shrewd enough, and they have 6-year terms. They're shrewd enough to read the tea leaves. And if that many turn, they're going to realize, A, hanging out with Taco and covering his ass is not doing us any good. So I think that's going to have a play. My husband, who is a wise man, who has still chafed over Taco being able to get us out of Vietnam, but he couldn't get out of Iran, but that's a whole other thing. He says that if we win by big numbers and they start up these investigations, which they will after the first of the year, when those investigations start, he thinks he's going to have him a deal with Jimmy Hamill and he's going to resign and Jimmy Hamill's going to pardon him. And that may happen. Because I don't think Jimmy Hamill wants to go for 2028. I really don't. But anyway, the problem is that doesn't get him out of the problems that he's got in Georgia, that he's got in New York, that he has in Florida, or the Hague. So, you know, any way Taco looks at it, he's got his butt in a bind. His only way out is to become roommates with Satan.
And do you think, okay, so then, like, if Jimmy Hamill, that's weird for me to call him that because I'm not used to it, but sure, why not? That's his name. So, like,
yeah, that's his name. That's how he went through high school, the Marine Corps, Ohio State, and Yale was under Jimmy Hamill.
Wow. So do you think, okay, let's just say he's the president. Do you think, because my negative theory or my, like, I'm afraid of this happening theory is that Legacy Media is going to treat him as reasonable, especially compared to Donald. And because there, I know that there aren't, like, I know young people aren't watching Legacy Media, but Legacy Media
old,
is...
Old folk ain't either.
Well, it's still reaching someone. And I'm just wondering if they're going to be able to paint him as kind of more normal, because we do know that he knows he's smarter than Donald Trump. He knows what people think of Donald Trump. And he's going to come across as this more reasonable kind of guy. So how do you think everybody's going to take that, regardless of what, legacy media pushes?
Jimmy is not a true believer. Jimmy's just doing what Jimmy's got to do to get along. Because you remember him back in 2016, the never Trump guy kind of thing. And he's been a chameleon all of his life. You just look at every iteration of Jimmy Hamill and he's just constantly evolving and changing. He only became a taco pleaser because Peter Thiel told him to.
Right.
If it looks like Peter's getting out of the game because he's going to cut his losses and he realizes he's president and Taco's not, he will wield his authority because Taco says he's left a notebook for Jimmy, and hell, Jimmy ain't going to pay attention to that. Jimmy's going to do what Jimmy wants to do. So in that aspect, yes, he's going to be much more reasonable than Taco, because even when he's painfully trying to justify some of the shit that comes out of Taco's mouth hole, you can see the pain of trying to twist it up, because he is intelligent. I will give him that. He is no dummy. Taco's only, if I mean, I'm being generous that he's got an IQ of 73.
I agree.
And then he's got dementia or syphilis on top of that. You know, he's just got a lizard brain. That's all that's left. It's this lizard brain. It's this reactive, primitive lizard brain. That's it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So you're basically saying you don't think anybody's going to really buy? Or do you think JD would be more effective? Or do you think that everybody's just going to be, okay, like, let's say Donald Trump is either taken out of the presidency because, like, of what you said, or he dies of natural causes, whatever it is, he's not president anymore. How does J.D. Vance, or how does he come off to voters? Are they going to feel relieved because it's not Trump anymore? is he going to make everybody feel better, or has everybody in this country said, okay, we're sick of fascists as a whole?
I think we'll be on idle for 2 years, but maybe Congress and the Senate will start doing their damn job and get some legislation done.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. And then, because there's not much he can do. All right. Let me ask you this, though. I'm going to switch this over because it appears that Tallarico is scaring the shit out of the Republicans. They're calling him Talafrico. They're saying saying he's a transgender person as if that's a negative thing, and they're doing it. Stephen Miller did it, and Sarah Wood said last week on my show that he was just floating that to see if it would stick. And then I don't know who it was. It was some ridiculous red state, you know, elected official posted on Twitter this cartoon of basically Tallarico. It was supposed to be Tallarico offering up children as sacrifices. So, I mean, they're going so hard on him. And like my mother said, he reminds me of like a Jimmy Carter type, which I agree, right?
He is.
He's very much that Jimmy Carter type. So I want to know, number one, I want to kind of like dig in on why he scares them so much. And then I want your overall opinion, because we do see that he's getting big crowds in Texas, but Beto got big crowds and he did lose. So what's your take on him, and why are why do you think they're, I mean, I think we all know, but I want to hear your take on why Republicans are so afraid.
I think it's because he's everything they're not, but they're trying to pretend they
yes.
are.
Yes. God, yes. Yes.
He's smart. He's clean cut. You know, their definition of clean cut.
Right.
You cannot argue the Bible with this man. You cannot out Jesus Tallarico. He's got it down to an art form. So they're not going to out Jesus him. They are not going to lay hands on this young man because he's already got this figured out and he's going to argue back. So they don't have that. He truly believes in letting people be who they are and loving them for who they are. And that's just blow. And I mean, come on, Stephen Miller's a damn vampire anyway. Who gives a shit what that grotesque, hideous vampire thinks?
Yeah.
I don't. I would love for him to say it's a free for all in that UFC cage. And I'd like to go in there with Stephen Miller. Let's see how tough that little twerp is.
I bet you would kick his ass. He would just be a bloody pulp.
But I think that's what's getting him. Now, as far as calling him transgender, and I'm like you, so all I want to say to, and I'm looking at my camera knowing that you're not seeing this, but Mikey Johnson, honey, I want you to pull out your waistband a little bit and look down. Because I don't think you got anything down there either.
Oh. Oh, my God. Sometimes I just love you so much.
Hey, I am. My mama always said you never mess with old women because they're closer to God.
No shit, huh?
And that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. And I'm going to be 60 in 2 years. That's me, too.
I'm like this. At this point in my life, what the hell are you going to do to me? If you put me in jail, I'll have 3 hots in a cot. Which is easier than making it on the outside right now with the economy.
I know. Really? It's just unbelievable. Okay. I want to say a couple more things. So this is going to be existential. Here's my little existential thought. So, you know, I got text or what? My mom and I are very close. So she sent me some text and it was how we were the laughingstock of the world. I think one of the texts that she sent me was somewhere in Norway. I was one of these countries, Denmark, where they were all laughing because Donald Trump wanted.
Yes, that was in Denmark.
That was in Denmark, yes. Because what was the thing? He wanted that title. I don't even remember the title.
He wanted Greenland. He wanted
Greenland and then
state.
He,
yes.
Yes, and
Denmark,
he wants.
They just laughed out loud.
and so we are. We're like the laughing stock of the world.
Well, now, have you seen what French news has done?
No.
Okay, you go ahead first, and then I'll tell you.
I want to know what has French news done?
They're showing every time Taco falls asleep somewhere,
uh-huh,
and they're putting it on their national news broadcast. That Trump's sleeping through his presidency.
Well, that's so yes, once again. And then of course Iran is doing all these cartoons. I haven't seen any lately, but they're calling him out.
Great.
Yeah, they're calling him out as a pedophile. I mean, it's not to say that I'm going to go ahead with the misogynistic people who are making these videos, but I'm glad that they're making them and they are really good. I won't share them, but I appreciate them. Now, okay, my existential thing is, okay, so a friend of mine had once said that she didn't want to live in a superpower because she felt like superpowers had too much hubris. They had too much power. They were just going to basically see themselves as an earth god or whatever. And I get it. I agree with it. We have been a superpower. I think we have knocked ourselves off of that. I don't think the world sees us that way anymore. It certainly doesn't take us, seriously. I do think, however, though, we can get to a place where we don't have to be the superpower. It would be nice if we didn't have one. But if we're just, a strong, good country that has a lot of influence, that's good. I'm happy with that. But my question to you and my existential question to you is, do you think that on some level we kind of created this situation we're in right now just so we could have this opportunity to rebuild? I know that, there were people saying burn it down. I was not one of those people. I wanted to keep things the way they were and improve upon them, but no. So things are burning down. And the beauty about burning down is we have a whole new opportunity to rebuild better and fix the things that have not been fixed, whether it's having to do with the Supreme Court or our Constitution. We have the opportunity to rewrite a Constitution that would reflect, a lot of what the Founding Fathers wanted, but updated so it matches the times we're living in. So, I mean, do you think that that's even a possibility? And if it is a possibility, how do you think we can do this? Because Democrat leadership, while I will always vote for it because I'm not going to vote for the fascists, obviously we still need to improve on what we're doing. I have no doubt that that's possible and the people can push, but do you see us building back a much stronger country? Do you think this is our opportunity? We're going to take this opportunity because it is our opportunity.
Well, I think that we have an opportunity to improve things. I'm not for, there's a lot of problems when people say redo the Constitution. First of all, you would have to have a constitutional convention. Then you have to have 33 states, right? I mean, bleh. It would help to just follow the goddamn Constitution, to be honest with you. That would be a big step forward, but I do digress. So I think, though, if we get enough people in there, we're going to be in a position, and they're only going to have this narrow 2-year window. Mm-hmm. They've got to get the Voting Rights Act in there. Mm-hmm. And then there's workarounds. There is nothing, because I have read it. There is nothing in that Constitution that says we can't age limit Supreme Court justices, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So put an age limit. You have to have a minimum age to run for office. You have to have a maximum age to run for office. And mm-hmm. that's the kicker. Because when you look, there's more old damn Democrats than there mm-hmm. are old damn Republicans.
Hmm.
Although there are some that stand out. There's more. We've got to stop. And that's our fault as an electorate. We mm-hmm. have to stop voting in 80-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what great job they've done. Thank them for their service, hand them their gold watch and a lollipop and say, enjoy your retirement. We've got to stop putting these old farts in there, because if you did, you would get the younger people in there that could update the laws that match the times we are living in. But as long as you got them old farts in there, it's never going to happen.
No more old farts.
Well, and I'm an old fart. I like my afternoon naps. So, for example, everybody says, we got to do away with the Electoral College. No, we don't. We need to join the Electoral College Compact, which is all we need is 270 electors. We are 3 states away because we've got, I think we're at 230 right now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got states that have agreed that their electors will vote for whoever wins the national popular vote.
Yep.
That's the workaround. It's simple. It's easy. Doesn't require ratification. That is a simple workaround. We need to get that through.
Yes.
We need to get the Voting Rights Act through. We need to age limit the Supreme Court at 72. I live in Ohio. If you are a municipal court judge or a common pleas judge or an appeals judge for the state, you have to retire at 72. So, hello.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that at the federal level? So it's just simple things like that, but they have to be willing to do it. And the number one thing they have to be willing to do is repeal and make a law about Citizens United. The problem is the Democrats like to say, oh, well, they benefit from it too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do away with, you can only contribute if you have two lungs and a heart in your breathing human being. But then if you said you had to have two lungs and a heart, you'd do away with Republicans. So you have to be a human being to contribute. And if you contribute to a PAC, there is a limit and you have to be unmasked. You can't hide behind an LLC or anything. If you hit a QR code, you know exactly who has contributed and how much money to that PAC. That's a simple fix.
Now, I want to just kind of go back, and it's the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which was a stupid yes. fucking name.
Isn't it, though? How much more awkward can you be? How about let's fuck the damn Electoral College Act, and we'd all be happy and understand it.
Exactly. And it's an agreement among states to award all of their electoral college votes to the presidential candidate who wins the overall national popular vote. I know that it was just introduced or passed in Virginia.
In Virginia was the last one. Yes.
Now, do you know if Spamberger signed that in?
She did.
Okay, good. So do you know how many electoral votes are left? I know you said three states, but how many electoral votes do we need?
I think we need 40 to hit the 270. I think we're right at 230. You'll have to use the Google machine.
Yeah. And basically what that means for everybody out there is there are, you know, I mean, it's more likely going to happen in a blue state than in a red state, but red states that might, I think there already might be some red states that have it.
Georgia might.
That would be amazing. How many, do you know how many electoral votes they have?
I do not. But Georgia and Arizona are two that might.
Oh, and Arizona would be great. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's not that far off.
No.
And it would basically just, and like you said, we wouldn't have to get rid of,
The Electoral College
would basically just do it.
That's right.
My boyfriend has talked about this and he's like, I don't want the Republicans to hear about it because they're going to fight. So it's like, Democrats need to quietly do this. And
well, the thing
is
they can't ever meet the number that we've already got.
That's true. Well, they're going to try and sue, you know, they're going to put this, they're going to do everything they can to stall. And that's fine. Of course, they're going to do that. But I think if we're just smart and we get this done, we could get this done in the next 2 years. We could have this done before 2028 and it would change things.
Absolutely. But we got to get on it. And so many people, because of the stupid name they came up with, don't know what it is. But if you start just like you did, you start explaining, oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Okay, we need to get going on this.
Yeah. And then
it's just a simple workaround. Whoever wins the national popular vote gets our electors. Good deal.
Georgia has 16 and Arizona has 11. So we would still have a little bit ways to go. And it really would just depend on the state because we've just got to get the electoral votes as opposed to X amount of states. So almost there.
We just need 270. We just need 270.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I do feel.
See, I gave you more hope.
I do feel hopeful. I mean, I feel hopeful. Like some days I go back and forth. You know, we all look at the news every day.
Every chance you get on your show, push that. Get your state. Talk to who you have to. This is a simple, easy fix because we have elected more presidents since 2000 by the Electoral College rather than the popular vote than we have in the history of this country. This is where the Electoral College backfired.
And just think about it. We would have had Gore. We would have had Hillary Clinton. it would have just been very different. I want to throw this in there before I go, because my mom had another, I don't know if she's going to create a move on petition about this or not, but all of these talks about these data centers and how they're stealing all of our, you know, on the grid, they're stealing all of our electricity and all of that. She was saying that the way Democratic leaders should write legislation moving forward with these data centers are that, sure, we can have them, but in order to have them, they should be connected only to a solar farm so they're not drawing off the grid. And I think that's a really good idea. I mean, I think the point here and that idea she has, I'm sure it's not as simple as that, but still it could be. The idea is there are workarounds for everything. Instead of, you know, she lives in Maryland.
Okay. We have solar farms everywhere here in Ohio. We have the second largest number of data centers. They put up all these solar farms for the data centers, and it has skyrocketed our electrical costs for the average person because we are paying for the solar farm modifications.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Electric. Yeah. Now, here's the answer. You want to know what the answer is? Hmm. And it's off of an old TV show that they said was too far-fetched. It's called Persons of Interest. Great show if you go back and watch it because we're living it now. The answer was, when the AI needed to be preserved, is they shot it up to a satellite. Okay, what does Elon Musk have a shit ton of? Satellite. You put it in a satellite. You have all the solar that you need to power it, mm-hmm. and it's cold up there. So yeah. You've got the cooling you need. Because the biggest problem to me is what it's doing to our water. Here in Ohio, we are blessed to have a high water table. And that's why they're here. They're draining it. But the bigger thing is the Palantir either owns most of them or is a significant shareholder. Who owns Palantir?
Is it Thiel?
Peter Thiel owns Palantir. Thiel. And remember, the Palantir is from the Lord of the Rings. That's the globe that was all-seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter Thiel owns Palantir. Here in Ohio, the two biggest investors in Palantir are none other than Vivek Ramaswamy, who's running for governor and who worked with Elon Musk on the Doge project, and one J.D. Vance, you know, the mm-hmm. Yale clique. So it is all disgustingly intertwined, and we're fighting these data centers. They're an abomination, and we have them coming up everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're coming up on our beautiful farmland, and they're sitting right on top of our aquifers, and our farmers are not going to have the water that they need. But how they built all these solar, and these are massive solar farms, is we're paying for it on our electric bills. Our electric bills have gone up 20%. And our corrupt legislature said, oh, well, we're going to let it stand. You have no fight on it. And, you know, they're getting their palms greased. Mm-hmm. So there you go. You have no way to fight it.
Well, there's a solution for everything. And Mammal has all of them.
No, it's just, you know.
I'm just kidding.
Damn it.
Just listen to Mammal. All right, everybody, just listen to Mammal. She knows what she's talking about.
It doesn't have to be that difficult.
No, it doesn't. And we do make things more difficult than they have to be.
We do.
We do. But all right, I think let's end this on the idea that I just really appreciate your, I don't want to just call it enthusiasm, because I don't think it's just coming from hope and all that. I mean, it is enthusiasm, but I think you're basing this on fact. You're basing this on what you know. So I'm happy to hear what you have to say about the midterms. I know you and I will be talking before the midterms, so who knows what's going to happen between now and then. But I always love having you on. It's always so much fun, and you're so funny. Thank and you. Just, of course, before I let you go, tell everybody where to find you.
I can be found on Facebook and YouTube and TikTok with the @ Mammal's Porch in the letter N Politics. So those are all the same. I'm also now on Substack and Blue Sky and on Podbean.
Awesome. So you have do you have a podcast now?
Well, yeah. Didn't mean to. Kind of accidentally fell into that. And it's not kind of a set thing. I just rehash and publish everything I'm doing. But
right.
I'm live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. And then I have Taco Tuesday night at 8 p.m. And then I have conniption Thursday at 9:30 in the morning where I just pick one topic and just go absolutely berserk. So you're catching me on the back end of that. And then I do other things pop up here and there. And then I put it on Substack too. All those refined people that write those really fancy things on Substack and try to be educated and dignified, I just totally throw mud all over that. I just throw my hillbilly shit in there and they're like, oh my God.
But you're real, and that's what we love. So, hey,
well,
you know, we need a little
bit
of
everything.
It's
good to get that corn cob out of their butt, you know?
Oh, my God. Well, Mamaw, thank you so much for coming on my show.
Oh, and you are welcome anytime, sweetie.
All right, we will talk again. Take care.
Bye-bye.
I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.